Welcome to Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass, a weekly conversation about business, careers, and personal development designed to inspire, educate, and motivate you.
And sometimes ourselves.
To show up powerfully, live fearlessly, and to find and unleash your inner badass. I'm Lisa Lindsay.
I'm Liz Green.
Welcome to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass. I'm Lisa Lindsay here with my, I don't know, Liz, go ahead and give me an adjective today.
Intuitive? Well, I think you've used that one before.
I was going to say intuitive, but I felt like we used that one already too. I really was.
Right, because well, that's intuition on both.
There we go. Intuitive. All right. How are you, Liz?
Great, Lisa. How are you doing?
Great. It's busy as usual. Yeah. You know how it goes.
Mm-hmm. I know how it goes.
Yeah. So question for you. Have you been hustling lately?
Okay. And when you say hustling lately, I mean, that could mean a number of different things, but
however you want to answer the question, girlie.
Okay. Meaning very busy lately and running around and being on that merry-go-round that we talk about in the episode. Yes, I have, very much so. I have been super busy, super hustling. I have lots of things coming up that I've been prepping for. So yes. What about you?
Yeah, the answer is definitely yes, and too much, and I have to stop, and I am busy, and I should have taken a vacation, and I think my clients think I've been off, but I haven't really been off. I've just been off for them.
Oh, no. I hope they're not listening. Wait, I thought she was on vacation.
No, it wasn't on vacation. I was working for somebody else.
Right. It's tough being on that merry-go-round and continuously going. And I think it can, you know, it can really be a trap, which is what we talk about with Jessica Butts in our conversation today, is being able to slow down, take a pause, kind of assess where we're at, take a deep breath. And of course, we go much further into what that looks like. But yes, you have not taken a deep breath and taken a pause in quite a while then, I'm suspecting.
Not one that feels the way it should, right? And right. Because it is a part of the hustle, but it's not like I'm not aware. I mean, we talk about it on the show all the time, right? So it's sort of like, okay, when am I going to push pause and truly like push pause and have it be the right kind of pause to get what I need. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm headed back to the Caribbean here in a week or two. So we'll see what that looks like. When I get there, we'll see.
Right. Well, I did take a little bit of a pause for my anniversary weekend, but we went to AC.
Oh yeah. You did not pause at all there.
And so it wasn't really a pause. It was like a lot of racing around, gambling, this, that, the other, all that kind of distracting stuff that we also talk about in the episodes. I'm like, wait a second. No, that was
You're filling a hole in your bucket list. Is that what you were doing?
Right. I was filling up that bucket, or at least trying to. Which
That's
is
so funny. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and get Jessica on. And get the show started.
Definitely. So her name is Jessica Butts, and she's a psychotherapist and a coach. She also has a podcast, and she's written one book that's published, and two that are on the way. So yep. Let's bring her on.
Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa and Liz. I'm super excited to be here.
It's exciting to have you.
All right.
So let's kick off by having you just kind of tell us a little bit about who you are, because I think knowing a little bit about who you are and what you've done with your life is going to lend itself really well to the conversation we plan to have today.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa. And I always start by saying like, this is so not about me. Like, I'm going to share my story in hopes that your listeners, your female listeners in particular, like, hear something in my story that resonates with them. Because I think we learn through stories, we learn through other people. You might hear something that I say and be like, oh my God, I'm totally the same way. So I like to start by saying, this has very little to do with me and really just about us, like, as women in general. So, it's always funny where to start. So my journey, like, to change my life and really, like, change everything, started about 11 years ago. I was married to the wrong person. I was in corporate America. I was eating too much, drinking too much, was just straight up miserable. And I just decided to kind of upend my life. And I decided, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to do this same thing for 38 more years? Like, I was like 37 at the time. I was like, I'm so uninspired. I'm so bored. I'm doing fine, right? Like, that's my least favorite thing. I'd rather be miserable than fine. And so I decided to go back to graduate school and became a psychotherapist. Ended my marriage at the same time. So I'm starting a practice, doing therapy, ending my marriage. My life just literally turned upside down. I was with him, for my husband, for 20 years. And since that day, about 11 years ago, I have been hustling. Ladies, I hit the ground running. There's this really poignant and, you know, those stories that you'll never forget until the day you die. This is one for me. We were in Maui, where I live now, ironically, and it was my 40th birthday and our 10-year anniversary or something like that. I don't know. And we were walking and we were about to end our marriage. And I was walking in front of him, which is kind of rude, but I was walking in front of him and he said, "Can you slow down?" And ladies, everything in my body, like, it chokes me up even still. Mm-hmm. I screamed, "No, I can't," because I wanted to explode with excitement. I was finally getting out of this oppressive marriage. He was an addict and a cheater and, you know, all the things that come along with an addict. And I was in an oppressive industry. I was in human resources. Like, I had no voice. Wait, I had no personality. I freaking dotted I's and crossed T's. And I hated HR and I hated my marriage. And I was like, I was ready at 40, right? I was coming alive for the very first time. I was ready to just, like, burst. I was ready to just absolutely go crazy. So that's what I've been doing since. I've written 2 books and I've built all the programs and I started a super successful podcast and a super successful private practice. And I'm a therapist and a business coach. And I was doing all the things. And then, as it did for everybody else, the pandemic hit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of many now realizing that it happened, you know, it was a blessing and a curse, obviously terrible. Like, people died. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible thing for a lot of people. And for me personally, the day it happened, like, the day we all have the day when we were like, oh shit, something's going down. I remember thinking, oh, this is my opportunity to get off of this train that I cannot stop. I had assistance for assistance. I was spending more money than I was making, and I was making a shitload of money. The business was just, I mean, it's all I did. I didn't even see clients anymore. I was running a business, and I'm actually not a very good manager, I found out. Yeah. I don't really like managing people, and it's all I did all day long. I was like, I'm not even doing my craft anymore. All I do is manage people. And so that day just started this new transition for me. And I've been calling it healing the hustle. That didn't come to me for a while. But I just pulled back and I just got off of social media for a while. I let all of my clients go, my most lucrative parts of my business. And ladies, I just stopped. I just took a hard pregnant pause. And I reevaluated everything. I sold my house. I gave away 70% of my belongings. I didn't know what the universe was saying next. So I moved into a 1-bedroom apartment. And then about 7 months later, just universe, God was like, okay, girl, it's time to, like, really put your money where your mouth is. Leave everything, you know, sell everything you have. Ladies, I don't own a can opener right now. I don't own anything. And I moved across an ocean to truly, truly put my money where my mouth was and heal my hustle. I moved to Maui. I live in a furnished place. I own like 10 bathing suits and a lot of flip-flops and a laptop computer so that I can do podcasts. And I am there being triggered every single day. Just so many lessons, lessons of, what's important, reevaluating what's important, reevaluating my life. I just turned 49 last week. And, it is, I feel like I'm in an experiment, if I'm being honest. Like every day I'm like, wow, I'm experimenting with, hustle culture. I'm experimenting people pleasing. I'm experimenting being alone. Like I'm single. I live there. I'm in Seattle right now visiting all my, you know, my people, but that's what's up. That was a very long answer. You guys have not interrupted me. So hopefully that wasn't too long, but it has been so many lessons wrapped up into one about my stuff and what's important and not buying new things. Like I can't buy anything. I can't buy anything because I go back and forth and I'm like, I can't buy that because I can't get it back and forth. So anyway, it's just been an unbelievable experiment. I'll be honest. I'm in middle of it, which I'm sharing on my podcast. And I got there and I couldn't finish my third book. I couldn't write and I couldn't figure out why. And then I finally was like, I'm having a Carrie Bradshaw moment. Like I'm in middle of the story. I can't. Yeah. And if you've written books, like you can't finish a book when I'm in middle of the damn story. Yeah. So I thought, okay, sister, put your money where your mouth is and get real, get real. Yeah. So I am getting so real on my podcast and just sharing with people like you that really want to have the conversations about how the patriarchy fucks us up, how we have to be perfect with everything, how at 49, I'm still supposed to be look a certain way and have whatever I'm supposed to have. And I don't have any kids. And I certainly don't have a white picket fence because I don't even have a house to put it around. And right. I'm just deconstructing all of these myths that I think our society puts upon women in particular. And I'm just feel like an experiment.
Yeah. I mean, Jessica, thanks for sharing all of that. That was really powerful. I think that, I can really relate and identify with a lot of what you're talking about. And I think, I don't know if Lisa can, I'm imagining probably yes, but what, what really kind of struck me there in your story, I mean, so many things struck me, but I love when you said, you don't have a house to put the white picket fence around.
Yeah.
And that's so, I think, symbolic, really, around, okay, so as women, men too, but particularly as women, it's almost like we oftentimes have this story, right? When we're a kid that we have to build this way, we have to build this that way. And then if we're business women, we get into that hustle, like you're talking about, right? Hustle, 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 hustle. And then where does that leave us? Oftentimes, I know for myself, I felt very drained. I felt very, I wasn't really living my best life. I wasn't really on my journey, on my path. And something very similar happened to me as well. I just turned a corner. I said, you know what? I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to, start coaching. I'm going to start helping people. I'm going to use all my years of, training and whatnot to really, really get into that area for myself. And my life is very, very non-typical, I think, when I look around and I see the people that that I've grown up with and whatnot, it's very non-typical. And I agree with you. I don't want to be in that hustle, hustle, hustle anymore. I want to be on my journey. And I think that all our journeys are individual. Yeah. And as long as we can get in touch with that courage to step into our path, that's, I think, what true living is really all about. And it sounds like that's what you've done in spades.
Yeah, it's, I love that you're saying this for two reasons. I like take notes because I'm like, oh, that was good. Oh, that was good. And it reminds me of two things. One, just evolving, right? Just evolving as women, as we get older. I was thinking back to kind of big moments in my life and the people that kind of come and go from my life as well, and that we evolve and change. When I was in graduate school, I had this amazing instructor, and he had been married to his wife for 35 years. And he always joked, he was kind of a nerd, but he would say like, oh, every day I get to wake up to a new woman. And it was this concept that his wife goes out in the world and he goes out in the world and they evolve and grow every single day, and that they get to come home and be new people. Like they are a new version of themselves kind of on a daily basis. And there is something about our culture, and I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what it is. Well, maybe it's all this bullshit about, you know, living in 1925 and laws that are keeping us oppressed and that kind of shit. But why are we not evolving? Like, why are we not looking forward as to what's next? We hold on to this stuff from the past. Like we hold on to like, oh, it's my high school best friend. I don't know. Is that healthy to still be best friends with the person that you were when you were 18? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't mean to be judgmental, but that just seems fucking weird to me. And that we live in the same house forever and we never move. I was mm-hmm. 48 and I had never moved out of Seattle. I mean, I wasn't born here, but I had never moved. And so part of all of this was just, I'm not going to look back. I'm going to open a new door. I'm going to start a new chapter and see what happens. You know, leaving my husband and leaving the security of that. Like this is some 1925, like going back to a constitution that was written a million years ago. Like, why are we doing that? Move forward.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Liz, like you were saying, Jessica as well, I mean, it's definitely the way I'm living my life right now, right? Like it's not by the prescribed way. So we all grew up with the story of how it's supposed to be. And this is how you're supposed to live your life. And this is what success looks like. And this is, you know, it's inside these boxes that we're supposed to be living. And I think that that's part of it. That's a question you're asking, right, Jessica? Like, what? Move on. And I think we're now in this place, or most of us are in this place, where it's how do we step out of the stories that we tell ourselves, yes. or not even the stories we tell ourselves, the stories that we are being told yes. By other people about how we're supposed to live our lives and what a successful life looks like, right? Yeah. So it's a husband and it's a house and it's yeah. a this, and you stay put.
Yeah.
And you never move and you stick with family and you have the same best friend that you did. You know, I have a friend who I've been friends with. I've known her for many, many years. And I haven't said this quite to her yet, and I'm pretty sure I might get to the point where I do, but I've said to a lot of people, if I met her today, she would not be my friend. She would not be my friend. It's just that simple. And yes, we're still friends, but say what?
She knows this.
Not yet. But the truth is, the way the friendship is structured now is not the same way that it was structured in the past. And that's actually okay, right? I personally think it's fair. But Jessica, since you're writing the book, why don't you share with us what are the causes? What do you think the causes are for some of this sort of stuckness, and then getting into this idea of you have to hustle in order to build a life that looks a certain way?
Yeah, I love this is where we're going with this, because, you know, it's about figuring out how we got here, which is part of it, right? This is where therapy stops. Like this is, you know, I like to be a therapist and a coach, because we need to look backwards so that we know where it came from, but not for very long. Like, let's not stay stuck there. So I'm going to use an analogy to answer this question. And I learned about this when I went to hypnotherapy school right after graduate school, which I don't do anymore because I was terrible at it, but it's an amazing tool for those who are interested. And it's called the bucket analogy. And each one of us are basically a bucket, and all of us have a hole in the bottom of our bucket, which is trauma, big T trauma, little T trauma, whatever you deem as trauma. And what we do as human beings, especially in this crazy world that we live in now, is to fill our buckets, we go outside of ourselves. So we go shopping. I mean, I'm fully admitting this is one of mine. I mean, it gives me a high and then I hang my shit in my closet and I forget it's even there. It's so stupid. Mm-hmm. We buy tons of shit. We're obsessed with skincare. We order everything on Amazon. We got to have cuter outfits. We overdrink, we overeat, we oversex, porn addictions, over-exercising, over-busying. Over-busying. Mm-hmm. So we go outside of ourselves to fill our buckets, right? This thing is going to fill me up. This relationship is going to fill me up. You know, I started dating again for like 2 weeks and then I forgot. Nope. I was in a relationship for 4 years. That ping, 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 ping. That is a dopamine hit. That is a dopamine hit. Shopping is a dopamine hit. All of that is a attention-seeking dopamine hit. Likes on social media, followers. Like, there are TikTok people that all they care about are getting followers. For what reason? Like, they're not even making a living off of this. This is the culture we live in. So here's the problem. There is still a hole in the bottom of your bucket. Some people, it's a pinprick. Some people, it's the size of a quarter. And some people, they don't have a bottom. And so they keep filling. And inevitably what happens? It never satisfies you. Ladies, you know that it never satisfies you. So what do you keep doing? You keep buying more shit, or you keep dating, or you keep needing things outside of yourself. Our work is to repair that hole in the bottom of our bucket. It's doing all the stuff I'm doing. Stop doing all the stuff. Get rid of your belongings. Go within. Stop. And so this is, you know, pretty controversial, especially for those of us with businesses. But how often do you like get off of social? How often do you take breaks? So I take week breaks at a time. In fact, it's how I came up with Healing the Hustle. Back in March of 2020, I obviously was just overwhelmed, as everybody was. That's not true. 2021. And I just took a week break. And I was like, I told myself, every time I pick up my phone to scroll social, I have to meditate instead. Mm. I had meditated 9 times by 9 a.m. That is an addiction, my friends. That is an addiction. And so that, I just stopped for 1 week. And what happened, of course, the universe gave me the download of my entire book, all of this content, and it just went blue. And so as business owners, as women, as healers, how many of your listeners are healers or have a business? It is our responsibility, I believe, basically to shut the fuck up. Stop. I mean, it's weird as we're on a podcast right now to stop listening to podcasts for a bit. Stop getting on social.
No. Don't tell people that.
I know, keep listening to this one.
I freaking have one too.
All the other ones except for ours
but
and Jessica.
Stop. Just for a little bit. Because you know what your greatest, you know what your greatest lesson is and your greatest guide? 1,000,000% is always your intuition. Period. Right. Story. And then every time I say that, and your listeners are probably like, well, how do you find out? How do you tap in? You shut up. Right. That's how you hear your intuition. It's straight from Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic. She talks about it. The butterfly idea cannot land on you when you are a scattered mess. Like, I'm on a podcast with my hands flying around my face, but this is how most people are. You see them. I live in Maui now, and I'm an avid observer of people, and they are just over busy, constantly doing the things, running around. We've got schedules to do this. We got to go here. It is just constant. Some of it is true because we live in a patriarchy. Back to your question, Lisa, of like how we got here. We live in a patriarchy that forces women to do all the things. I mean, I am not a mom, and I'm glad I'm not, for a lot of reasons, but that whole thing of we got to do it all. We got to still look great. We got to run our businesses. We got to be perfect moms. We got to have the perfect cupcakes. We got to do all that bullshit. And then also just this culture that we live in right now of social media and followers and everything going on. It is inevitable that we are going to get burnout. It is inevitable that other people's lives are also not what we want. So now I'm switching gears a tiny bit because there's personality type stuff in here. So 75% of the population, as Myers-Briggs calls it, are sensors. And they are people who live in the moment. And God bless them. I mean, it's my mom and my sister and almost everybody surrounding me. They are fine with, I would call the status quo. They are fine. They live in the same house. They eat the same food every day. They're fine. And I am not one of those people. So Myers-Briggs calls the other people intuitives. And we are people who are always looking at what's next.
Yep.
And it is a blessing and a curse. So this is part of how we got here. It's a blessing and a curse. It makes us super successful. It makes us write 3 books. It makes us do podcasts. It makes us great coaches. And it is a curse because it's fucking exhausting.
Yep.
And we are constantly, what's next? Where am I going? What are we doing? I mean, there's this, you know, just super personal story. Like there's this gentleman who's coming into my life and all I want to do is just manage and control it. All I want to do is like, what are we doing? What's happening? When are you coming to Maui? You know, I just don't know how to let things be. And so this is what I am working on in my life and hopefully being an experiment or a, that's not the right word, an example is the right word to other women as to some of the things. Not everyone's going to move to Maui. Not everybody's going to get off of social. Not everyone's going to sell all of their shit. Not everybody's going to tune everything out. But if you could do like one of these things occasionally, like solo trips, I'm a huge advocate of solo trips, and just learning what it feels like to stop trying chasing things outside of us and start focusing on internal. Find a therapist, for God's sake. Like start doing your work. Lisa, cutting out friends that no longer serve you. Like, girl, we only got so much energy. We only got so much energy. I just got off of a text chain the other day because I was like, this happy birthday to me. This no longer serves me. I am off of this. It just does. It stresses me out. Why am I doing this? So that was a very long answer to your question, but I hope it was helpful to your listeners.
Yeah, no, I think so. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I think also too, Jessica, and tell me if you agree with this, I think a lot of people are afraid to get off of that very fast moving merry-go-round, right? Because what happens when I stop?
Almost every time. So I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be very, 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 very uncomfortable. It's going to be very uncomfortable. And you're right. Most people are afraid to turn it off because what they're going to have to tap into is exactly the big T, little T traumas. You're going to have to look at why your mom fucked you up and why you're super sad and why your relationships are a mess and why you're people pleasing and why, I mean, within like the first 2 weeks of being in Maui, because I'm alone. I mean, I moved across an ocean by myself and every single day, like I got triggered by something. I got in the biggest fight of my 49 years with my mom. We didn't talk for like 2 weeks. I mean, it was just, you know, the ex sends me the worst message in the world. It was just to think like heal, 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 heal. And so Liz, you're right. Most people do not want to do that work because it's not easy. And as Jensen Shiro says in her amazing book, You Are a Badass, says, it's not your fault that you're fucked up. It's your fault that you're still fucked up.
Right.
Yep.
That's
right. She's so right about that.
I am adamantly aware, and I want other people to be aware, it is not your fault. But if you stay screwed up, if you're jumping from relationship to relationship to relationship, or you're repeating all of these patterns, or you need all of this external validation, yeah, that's on you. But you're right. Is it easier to be blinded? Is it easier to just go shopping? Is it easier to just be broke? Is it? Yeah, it is. It is.
But then there's also the shame that comes with that. And there's the inner critic that comes with that. And then depression follows and shutdown. So easier, but then also more painful, right?
Because that's interesting, Liz. So you're saying like in the long run, by shutting it down, you're saying that you feel like people get depressed long term. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree with that 100% because I think that in the moment, maybe we get temporary fulfillment from the shopping, from the whatever it is that we're doing to cope with the idea of this hole in our bucket. But then over time, I think if you're cognizant of it, or if you're cognizant at all, you have any sort of awareness, even if you aren't fully self-aware, at some point you kind of go, why does it suck?
Yeah.
Why does it all suck? And you might ask yourself that question, and some of us go further, right? And try to figure out, okay, why does it suck? I mean, that's how we all got here. Some version of that question and finding the answer to that question is why Liz and I are both here, right? And you too, Jessica, because you're like, this doesn't work for me and I need to figure out how to fix it. And there's some people who are like, this doesn't work for me. Just keep trotting along and doing the same thing because it's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Or it's what feels good, or it's what's comfortable for me.
Comfortable.
And it's the discomfort that is hard, right? Because yes. I have to tell you, there's areas I've been in coaching and therapy for years, coaching more recent, but there are times, there are things that I know I haven't touched or I haven't dug too deep yet because I really don't want to do that work. I swear to God, yeah. I can't. Like, I'm not ready. You know what I mean? And even as aware of a person and human being that I am, I'm just like, I ain't touching that. I'm not ready to dig underneath there yet and deal with that yet. I don't know if that makes me better or worse than some people, or it just is, right? Not better or worse. But it happens to all of us, right? Because it's just like, I already know the work that's going to go into having to deal with this thing. I don't want to do it.
Right. And you have to be ready.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful awareness. I think it's amazing awareness. Also, something fascinating about our subconscious, obviously, that I learned in hypnoschool is that when we go into hypnosis, nothing will come up that we are not ready for. Isn't that fascinating? Like even in our subconscious. And so Lisa, I think what you're saying is incredibly self-aware. Like it's, I see it, got you. And I
know
I ain't got time for that yet. Like I just, I'm not quite ready to heal that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not ready. Well, also, cause I know there's a certain, I mean, I know what I'm thinking about, right? And I know that there's a certain amount of time, energy, and effort that is going to be required to address this thing because I know what the elements are.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, nope, not now. Right. And by the way, just as an aside, we did have a hypnotherapist on the show. I actually got hypnotized, which was quite fun and very interesting way to deal with it. So you guys can go listen to that episode. We'll link it in the show notes. But yes, not being ready. Thank you for saying that. It's like incredible awareness because I feel like sometimes I'm hiding from it. But I just know I can't deal. And I need to be in a place to be able to deal in order for it to be effective. Otherwise, we're just kind of uncovering, turning up dirt and not doing anything with it.
And you know what? Then it's also can be dangerous to go and try and heal some of that trauma when you're not ready. Like, you know, I practice internal family systems. And if the parts, right, the defensive parts, protector parts, what have you, if they're not ready to move aside and allow the healing to happen for, you know, the exile, inner children, what have you, it can be super dangerous. So I think that people know their systems pretty well innately. Yeah. And know
yes, when, I love you that know, you do that work. My graduate degree is in family systems, and it's really amazing work. But I also, can I come back and say one thing too? Because I'm sure, I feel like
yes, you're the guest after
I feel
all.
Like your listeners are probably like, well, why should I be doing this work? Maybe I should just keep shopping or do whatever. Because I think we're like giving it a bad rap. But let's talk about like the pros of doing the work.
Of course.
I will say, first of all, I am somebody that I believe it's partially why I'm on this earth, right? Like, so I'm not a parent to human people, but I believe this is part of my work is to continue to grow. And then as a psychotherapist, help other people do that. And I know that there's a large population, at least 10% of the population, that are really in this camp of like, it's really important for me to continue to evolve and grow as a human being, because we're also in the healing profession. So Liz, you would certainly be in that category for that reason. And then I would say also is what you would say to earlier, Liz, about that it does cause this long-term depression. So when we keep doing something over and over, right, we're shopping or we're continuing to buy things, or we keep drinking or we keep dating or we keep having affairs or we keep doing the thing that we think is going to fill our bucket, and we just do it over and over and over again, and we're never fulfilled, that is anxiety, depression. Like, that is the fear long-term versus getting quiet, getting still, getting peaceful, and working on like being content. And that healing, I know, because I'm literally doing it, is worth every difficult moment versus, I mean, to me, this is living versus surviving, thriving versus surviving. Mm-hmm. Again, just go, I mean, we get one life on this earth. I mean, I just turned 49. Like, my sister gave me a book to document half my life. And I went, oh shit. Like, that's a great gift. And
there's a lot there.
A horrible gift. I was like, that is very eye-opening. But right, we get this finite time on this planet. And for the majority of us, the minority of us, that we are here to fully get everything out of this life. There are people, you know, Jeff Olson calls it in The Slight Edge. I mean, he is really mean. He says it's 95% of the population, like, basically just never does The Slight Edge. They never do the thing. They never get out of fine because it's too hard. They try and they give up. So he calls us 5 percenters. So 5%, I'm a little more generous. I think it's about 10, but there's 5 to 10% of the population that are people like us that are like, oh, hell no. I get one life on this earth. I'm going to know myself. I'm going to know my type. Like, I just did my birthday episode, my 5 best personal development tools. And the main thing that came out of it was, this is not to say I'm better. It just means I'm more self-aware again of why I'm fucked up. Like, I know why I have anxious attachment.
I know where my shit is. Yep.
Yeah, my mom fucked me up. Like, I'm well aware. So, like, I get why I have anxious attachment. It doesn't make me any better. It just makes me more aware so that we can also share it with other people. And for those of you who have kids, like, I don't know. I feel like this is, you know, your duty is not to buy them new fancy shoes. It's to help them grow into really remarkable human beings so we can turn this country around too.
Yes.
Yeah, whole nother topic. Amen. I could get off on a whole topic about that. As I'm sure
I mean, we could talk to you, speak for myself. I could talk to you forever because there's just so many subtopics here.
Okay, right. I have a question for you guys. So as I call us kind of weirdo, intuitive, you know, we're the weirdos in the world trying to do these crazy things in our lives. Do you guys find it lonely? First of all, and if you do, what do you do to like make sure you find your people?
Yeah, excellent question. I do find it lonely at times, right? And then where I find my people is really kind of in my different trainings that I do, my specialized trainings that I do.
Love it.
So I'm very kind of active in that because I mean, it can be super lonely, especially if you are in the healing arena. And like you said, you're in the 5 or 10%, right? That can be super tough. And then I like to just, I like to talk to people. This podcast, I love doing this podcast. Yeah. What about you, Lisa?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's quite lonely. And I think that was more acute for me in the first part of this year, because as maybe regular listeners have kind of maybe pieced together, it's that I've done something very similar to you, Jessica, where I've moved back home to the Caribbean and have been spending most of my time there. And Working my business from there, I'm in back and forth between the Caribbean and the US. But what I found was I spent a good stretch of time there, December to like April. And during that time, I was like, I'm alone. It's lonely. I don't have a community and I need to figure out how to fix that. Because I grew up in the Caribbean, and I want to be careful what I say here. There is something very distinct about becoming self-aware that makes certain everyday conversations very frustrating.
So preach. This is important. Yes.
It's very, very frustrating. And for me, it's sort of like, as a coach, I know that you cannot do anything with people like we were talking about that aren't ready. So for me, a lot of that has been like, okay, I can't, this is hard. And it's sort of like, where can I go? So I have a friend of mine who kind of encouraged me to come back to New York earlier than I was planning to. And through just coming back to New York earlier than I was planning to and doing a bunch of things I did in that time, I was able to sort of focus in on figuring out that I need to now focus on community. And this podcast is huge for me too, in terms of like the people that we get to meet, the minds, conversations that I get to have, because it's the same level. There's a certain level of understanding that comes along with doing the show that doesn't really exist in a lot of other areas in life.
And I'm glad I asked that, one, because I was just curious because I feel the same way, but two, it's important for your listeners to know, because this is something that I find that our type doesn't necessarily know about ourselves, yet we feel it all the time. And the reason is because of this personality type difference. So 75% of the population are these very, they live in the moment people. I sometimes call them basic people, but that's not very nice. They are awesome people, but they live different. And so we do find this lonely. And when sometimes we can be around like a whole bunch of people and actually still feel lonely. And so, yes, I'm not necessarily finding my community in Maui either, but it's stuff like this. It's finding new friends. It's being on Marco Polo. It's connecting. It's traveling. That's a very important distinction for our personality type in particular.
Yeah. And I think too, I wanted to add one thing too, because I mean, we're so multifaceted and we all have kind of different parts, sub-personalities, et cetera. It's kind of like meeting people where they're at and hopefully vice versa. Like there's a part of me, like I love watching stupid, silly reality shows on TV. I might have that girlfriend that I'm like, hey, yes, did you see that on The Bachelorette? Blah, blah. But then of course, you know, then I have another set of friends where, you know, we might have this kind of conversation have you. And, you know, it's kind of like, I think really kind of utilizing the different kind of parts and sub personalities and so kind of getting our needs met on all different levels, because I mean, I'm not fully into this. I want to be stupid and silly and stuff like that too, right? It's just another part of me.
Absolutely. Yes.
100%. Jessica, oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been fantastic. And we could talk to you forever. But before we let you go, could you really quickly tell us if you had one thing that you wanted our audience to take away from the show today? What would that be?
I would say figure out your bucket. Figure out your bucket. And it's not outside of you. So figure out your personality type. Figure out your codependent style. Figure out your adult attachment. Figure out your love languages. Figure out your core values. By the way, those were the five that I did for my birthday episode. Like, figure out who you are. You start dictating your life instead of your life dictating you.
Love it. And so just the name of your podcast is?
It's actually Front Seat Life, which is a little bit confusing. So I've kind of rebranded a little bit. So I was Front Seat Life forever. And then I went to Healing the Hustle. And then I was like, this is just confusing. So I am Jessica Butts MA on Instagram. I just went back to like, I got to just go back to who I am. And then my podcast is Front Seat Life on iTunes.
And then you also have a retreat, right? Which I was looking at and I'm like, that's so weird. I'm doing a retreat in Seattle, the exact same date that you're doing your retreat.
That's so, bizarre.
So tell people about your retreat.
I have one spot left, and it's very interesting because I know the universe is just waiting for like the perfect person. So I will be doing this once a year. There's a gorgeous retreat center on Maui called Lumeria. It is truly like the most magical place my body and soul has ever been. So I'm doing a Healing the Hustle retreat in Maui on October 17th through the 21st. And there's one spot left. I'm full in my private practice at the moment, but you know, people graduate. So just reach out to me on Instagram or send me a message on my website, which is jessicabutts.com. But ladies, this was lovely, lovely. Thank you for kicking off my week so wonderfully.
Yeah, and thank you for being our badass of the week.
Yahoo! Thank you.
Thanks, Jessica.
That's it for us this week. Remember, you can find anything we referenced in the episode in our show notes on our website, bossybrilliantbadass.com.
If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. It helps us get found.
And thank you for listening. There'll be more Bossy, Brilliant, and Badass next week. So until then,
be a badass.